9. That's where we'll begin this morning. I'm going to begin reading in Matthew chapter 9. If you would join me in standing just one last time out of love and respect for the Bible. But
amen.
We just want to read a few verses here beginning in chapter 9 verse 18. Jesus was busy, of course, doing many things that he always did, helping people and teaching folks and doing miracles. And verse 18, it says, though, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Amen. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, minstrels are musicians, they were basically having a funeral service, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Look again in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a little while about the vision, amen, of our Savior. The vision of our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning we come to you with humble hearts. We come to you, Lord, in a spirit of worship and adoration, praise and honor and glory, Lord God, all belong to you. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and health and glory and blessing, Lord God, from every person on the face of this earth. Lord, unto you belong all the miracles, all the power of all the blessings of all the world. Father, we exalt you this morning. We lift up our Lord Jesus Christ this morning on purpose, Father. We pray that you would help us. Give us an understanding of what it means, Lord God, to have a right vision, a right perspective, Lord God. We need you to renew our vision, to renew our understanding, Lord God, as a church, as individuals, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our Savior had an amazing vision, an incredible vision, as we see that he saw the multitudes, he saw people everywhere, he saw people with compassion, and he saw them and he realized these people are fainting, these people are scattered abroad, these people are sheep having no shepherd. He saw people with a need. He saw people that had a need in their lives, and that even for him it was overwhelming. It's hard for us to understand, but Jesus was struggling here. He was saying, listen, there's too much for me to do. I want you to see that again. He said that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. They fainted, were scattered abroad. And he said in verse 37 to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest is people, folks. The harvest of God in God's economy, in God's understanding, in the Word of God. A harvest is not a fruit field or some type of a vegetable, but it is a people. It is the souls of mankind. It is hearts and lives of people that need Jesus Christ, that are lost, that are wandering aimlessly in this world without hope, without salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that a man that's without Christ, that's without salvation, is without God and without hope in this world. That means they have nothing. The harvest, my friends, is plenteous. You can find those kind of people anywhere and everywhere you look. They're all over the place. There's no lack of people that need Jesus Christ. There's no lack of people that are scattered abroad. There's no lack of people that are wandering about aimlessly, wandering about in darkness, having no direction, having no purpose, having no understanding, having no realization of who they are and how much they need Jesus Christ. You and me today, as we sit in our church service, as we sit at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, I understand something today that we need to be careful that we don't lose our vision. We need to be careful that we don't lose our perspective on this world. There are multitudes of people, and we don't have to look far to see them. Amen. I heard Brother Max talking about he went to lunch on Friday at somewhere down, I think it was this pizza place down here, and he said there was hundreds of kids in there, amen, having pizza. As a matter of fact, Samuel and I drove by the place when they were lined up outside going in, and that there were all kinds of kids. And I remember saying to Samuel, I said, boy, I hope that place has got a lot of pizza ready. There was multitudes of children, amen. It was spring break, and so I guess they were going out for pizza, enjoying their Friday afternoon. But understand something. What I should have said is, boy, I hope those kids have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope those kids know that Jesus is their only hope for salvation. They weren't little children, amen. They were middle school age children. They were old enough to understand, hey, sin is sin. I've done wrong. I've disobeyed. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I can't fix myself. I need someone to make me whole again. You understand, Jesus had a different vision, and he saw things that most of God's people we don't see. It's very apparent to me that when Jesus saw the multitudes, notice he was moved with compassion because they fainted. In other words, they were not saved. They were not strong. They were failing. In other words, every day, every step they took was one step closer to eternity. Every step they took was one step closer to a devil's hell, a lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone day and night, tormented forever and ever. And Jesus saw that. But do we see that, dearly beloved? Do we see what Jesus saw? Do we have that vision for souls? I'm here to tell you today, we're not sinless, and I know Jesus was. We're not the Son, only begotten Son of God, Jesus was. But I want you to see something today. In His flesh, there were some very real reasons that He had such a vision. The Bible tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. When there is no vision, when we lose our vision, when we stop looking at people as like Jesus looks at people, through what I like to call missionary eyes, soul winners' eyes. People are not just people, amen. They're not bodies, they're souls. They're not temporary, they're eternal, amen. They have an eternal soul that will one day live somewhere or perish in eternity somewhere, and whether it be heaven and living or whether it be eternal perishing in hell. But that person you're looking at is eternal soul. And we've got to understand that. Listen, but I want you to see something. Jesus is exhorting His disciples to see what He saw. Jesus is encouraging His disciples. He said in verse 37, unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. They didn't see it. They didn't see what He saw. Are you looking at it with me this morning? They didn't see the harvest. They didn't understand how truly plenteous the harvest was. They were just busy and tired of being busy. Understand something. All of us feel that way. We're busy, and sometimes we get tired of being busy. Amen. We've got work. We've got responsibilities. We've got school. We've got ministry. We've got family. We've got all of it. But these folks, listen, these disciples did not see. what Jesus saw. But Jesus, this morning, by the grace of God, I hope that he will help us understand, listen, that we need to see the harvest. We need to see that there's truly a lot of people that are fainting. They're scattered abroad. They're lost sheep having no shepherd.
Yep.
Dearly beloved, this morning, Jesus Christ is making a plea. He's calling out to you and me as his disciples. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, amen, listen, Jesus said, come follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. Why? Because there is a harvest out there of people who do not have a Savior. They do not have any direction. They're lost and dying in sin. He said the harvest truly is plenteous. Jesus had a vision of the harvest, listen to me, but he also had a vision of the laborers, or dare I say the lack of laborers. He understood the problem is not the harvest. The problem is not too many people. The problem is not too little power. The power of the gospel is all we need. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit is all that we need, dearly beloved. The harvest is plenteous, but Jesus said, I'm only one person. He was contained to that body while He was here on the earth. He was contained to that fleshly body. He could only do what one man could do in His body. He laid aside His glory. He didn't lay aside His deity, but He laid aside His glory and His everlasting omnipresent spirit, if you will, and He was confined to that body so that He could perish and die on that cross for us, so that He could give His life on that cross for you and me. But as He saw those people, listen, as He saw that crowd, He realized that there's too much for me to do. And He told His disciples, men, there's too much for us to do. But do you see the harvest? Do you see the people? Do you see the sea of souls? People that are lost and dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you've got to get a vision. You've got to see what I see.
Right.
They didn't see it. They didn't see what He saw. He said, listen, men, the harvest truly is plenteous. The problem, however, it's not that there's too many people. There's too few workers. There's too few laborers. There's not enough people understanding. He said, pray then. He said, what we need to do. What's the solution? Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Yeah. Understand something. You know, we're not praying because we don't have a vision. We're not praying for God to do something more in our city like we should, like Jesus told us to. Like, listen, there's no way that Jesus wasn't praying. He was praying for this.
Yeah.
How do I know? Because He's not a hypocrite.
Amen.
He's not going to tell you to do something that He doesn't do. He's not going to tell you to do something that He's not doing. Listen, He was in the flesh at this particular time, and He was a man of prayer.
Oh.
And He understood this is about the only hope for these people is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and they said, He hadn't died yet. I understand that, but it was as good as done. Amen. He hadn't died when Abraham got saved either. He hadn't died when Moses got saved either. Don't tell me He hadn't died when Elijah got saved either. He hadn't died when Moses and Elijah came down and stood with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and He was glorified in His body, and Moses and Elijah were standing there with Him. He hadn't died yet, amen, but they were saved and they were in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. It's not a matter. It's as good as done. The Bible says He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's no time with God like there's time with you and me. Listen, God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's as good as done. But folks, listen to me. He said you got to pray. He said, we can't do all this, guys. We can't do all this, men. There's a great problem here. There's too many people and not enough laborers. There's too many people and not enough preachers. I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about those who are called to preach the gospel. Those who have been saved and born again and have a responsibility, like we said in Sunday school, to preach the gospel. This vision, listen, He was exhorting His disciples. He was encouraging them to see, look, you've got to open your eyes, men. You've got to see that there's a great sea of people here. There's a vast amount of people out here. Too many for me to even handle. Jesus was the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Amen. Emmanuel. God with us, our refuge, our strength. But He said, listen to me. Listen, but we've got to do this together. He said, man, you and I can't even do this. He had 12 disciples, and one of them was Judas Iscariot. I guarantee you, Judas Iscariot was not out preaching the gospel. These people were dying and going to hell. Their lives were completely hopeless. But let me say, they're worthless. Look what it says, scattered abroad in verse 36. They were just going like ants. They were just running, scurrying every which way, doing nothing and doing it in a hurry, all for nothing, for no reason. No understanding that they needed to be saved. Folks, somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to send the light. Somebody's got to be the light. Somebody's got to be the salt. Somebody's got to be the ambassador. Somebody's got to be the messenger. Somebody's got to take the good news. Amen. How beautiful are the feet? Amen. Do you have beautiful feet this morning? Brother Benny's got beautiful feet this morning. He was out preaching the gospel, and David Hunter got saved. Hunter, is that his name? Got saved yesterday morning, amen. Right here in Denton, amen. There's people everywhere. But imagine if we had about 40 Bennies. Imagine if we had about 40. Imagine if every one of us was available and involved in some type of soul winning ministry. Just every one of us in this room. Amen. I'm talking about God doing something. Jesus Christ is got a vision, but he's trying to share that or trying to impart that or impute that to you and me this morning. That's all I'm trying to do. He said, look, this vision, men, it can't just be my vision. He said, you've got to open your eyes. You've got to see that there's a truly plenteous of many people out here, but there's not enough workers.
Amen.
A vision for souls. You say, preacher, what caused Jesus? How did he see that he saw these people different than what I see these people? Well, I just read it to you a minute ago, because he was continually busy helping people. I'm not going to read the whole passage again, but if you want to go back with me to verse 18, there's a ruler came to him, and his daughter is dead. And he said, I want you to please come and resurrect her. So Jesus arose in verse 19 and started following him. Then a woman came in the middle of that, and she had an issue of blood 12 years. She touched his garment. Jesus turned about in verse 22, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus came to the ruler's house. They were already having a funeral for the little girl. He said, don't be afraid. Give place. The maid is not dead. And he gave himself, and he went in and resurrected that little girl for the glory of the Lord. Yes. Then the Bible says that he departed, and two blind men followed him in verse 27. He said, thou son of David, they said, have mercy on us. And he healed them. He gave them their sight back. And then they were departed, and then there was a dumb man in verse 32, a man who couldn't speak. Not an uneducated man, but a man who couldn't speak, you see. He was possessed with the devil. The devil was cast out. Jesus was very busy. He was going from one need, to another person, to another house, to another problem, to another disease, to another illness, to another disaster, to another catastrophe. He completely gave himself to the people around him. He was continually pouring out himself to be a blessing and to help. Hey, listen, it wasn't without persecution. Look in verse 34. The Pharisees said he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. They were rebuking him and falsely accusing him, just like good children of Satan do. But Jesus in verse 35 went about, notice, all the cities and villages. Now he went about all. When it says all, that means everywhere he went. He was teaching in their synagogues in verse 35, preaching the gospel, healing, notice, every sickness, every disease among the people. That's our Savior, dearly beloved. That's my Savior. I can't speak for you. That's my Savior, amen. That's my Savior. That's my Lord. That's my Jesus. And see, why did he have such a vision? Because he was continually serving people. He was continually working to help people. I don't have the power that Jesus does. I can't say, I can't heal or give sight to the blind, or certainly can't resurrect the dead. But I can give myself to help people, and so can you. I can be a blessing to other people around me. Listen to me, we get so caught up in our own problems, and then that's why we don't have a vision. That's why we don't have a vision. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to give himself, give his life a ransom for many. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. He humbled himself and became a servant, the Bible says. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did it all for me. He did it all for you. He served you and me. He came to this old world, and that's why he had such a different vision. Because he was continually serving people.
Amen.
That gave him compassion for people. Verse 36. The Bible says in verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them. You see, listen, you know what? You can serve people without compassion.
Yeah.
I understand that. You don't have to have compassion to serve people. But when you do continually give yourself to serve people and to do things for other people, you know how many times people have come to me with problems, with just depression and discouragement, and unknowingly just don't know what to do. And I'll tell them again and again, go into your kitchen, amen, bake a dozen good chocolate chip cookies, wrap them up, and then go take them to somebody else and just give them to them.
Yeah.
Just do something for somebody else. And folks, I'm telling you, they don't do it. They will not do it. Because they are so wrapped up in their problems, in their drama, they won't do it. And you know where they're at today? In the same problems. In the same discouragement. Worse than they were then. Folks, I'm not telling you something that's I just making up. The life of a Christian is a busy life. But the life of a Christian, as I said in Sunday school, does not, should not, cannot revolve around me. There's people out there, listen, you say, well, that's not preaching the gospel. I know that. But Jesus didn't do anything but give the blind sight. They didn't get saved.
Amen.
Amen. The woman with an issue of blood, she didn't get saved.
Amen.
The little girl that got resurrected from her disease, she didn't get saved. Jesus just loved them. Jesus just did something. He could do those things. I can't do those things, and neither can you. You're not, amen, a Pentecostal, okay? Let's not go there.
Amen.
That's not real. Amen. That's a bunch of baloney. That's what that is. But you and me can help people. We can be kind to people. We can show people that we love them. We can give people help and encourage them and let them know, hey, there's a real Jesus in heaven. Pay attention up here, please. There's a real Jesus in heaven. He loves us. He's able to help you. He wants me to help you. He'll give you everything that you can desire if you'll let him be your Savior. But just show the love of Christ. Just let somebody else know, hey, I care about you. You know, my wife and I went out just visiting some people yesterday. People that I hadn't seen in a long time. People had never come to church. And sometimes we get caught up in that, don't we? Well, they're never going to come to church, and they haven't come to church, and maybe they just don't care. But you know what? It was a blessing. It helped me to go out and just sit and visit with people yesterday that hadn't come to church. It was a good time of fellowship. It was a good time of encouragement and rejoicing, just to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
Folks, listen to me. I don't know. This is not deep, I know. But I'm talking to people who just will not do anything for anybody else. Folks, what's going to make the difference between us and a cold, dead church is if we will get out of our shells and we will live and understand that there's a world of people that are hurting out there, and I can do something. Maybe I don't have the money to bake the cookies. Okay, well then I can just get dressed and clean up a little bit and just go spend some time with somebody. Just make a visit and sit down and chit-chat with them. Just have a little bit of fellowship with people. Just try to be a blessing. See, folks, that's what made a difference. That's why Jesus had such a vision. And that's why, see, that continual ministry gave him compassion. You say, he always had compassion. Oh, really?
Amen.
Oh, not with the Pharisees, he didn't.
No.
Not with the money changers in the temple, he didn't.
Right.
You see, Jesus always had compassion for sinners. I understand he did, but understand something this. His compassion was there, but his compassion was just, he had a flesh just like you and me, and his body was tired just like you and me. And but his compassion was visible because the Bible says he was moved with compassion. He wanted to do something. He was busy trying to help them.
Yeah.
See, he was continually ministering and serving people.
Yeah.
He's a good Savior, folks. He's a loving Savior. He's a merciful Savior. He's a giving Savior.
Yeah.
The Bible says that no man took his life, but he laid it down willingly. He gave his life for our sins. I know we talk about how he was crucified and how he was nailed to the cross, but no man could have done that except he lay his life down.
Amen.
And I just want to remind you this morning, this is not anything profound, but it is not anything deep, but it is profound. That you and me, listen, we've got to see this world. We've got to get back to seeing souls for who they are. Those missionary eyes, those soul-winning eyes, Jesus' eyes, amen. He saw the multitudes. He was moved, and he said, listen to me, guys, open your eyes. Look with me in John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter 4. And this is Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. And she got saved and she went and she told everybody about Jesus. And then his disciples came back. They had gone in to get something to eat into town and came back in verse 31, John chapter 4. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him or asked him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They thought, their mind was still physical food. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he's saying is, I see things, men, that you don't see. I see things differently. He said, my meat is to do the will. I see the will of God as my needful food. I see the will of God, which is, listen to me, folks, to preach the gospel to every creature. He says, I see the will of God as my necessary food. How do I know? Because look in verse 35. The first thing he says to them, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He says, but behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already to harvest. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen to me, man. You don't see what I see. You don't hear what I'm saying. There was a woman at the well there that he had just led to salvation. That woman just got saved. And that woman was now going into town preaching the gospel to her friends and neighbors. And they were all coming. But his disciples missed it all. They missed it all. He told his disciples back in the beginning of this chapter, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And they didn't like Samaria. They didn't want to go through Samaria. They didn't like Samaritans. They didn't want to be there. They were Jews and they didn't want to be in Samaria. But Jesus said, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to open your eyes to something here. We're not here but because of Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles. We're here because souls are dying and going to hell.
Amen.
He said, man, you've gone to get something to eat, and now you're coming back trying to give me something to eat. And it's not that he wasn't hungry. Listen to me. It's not that he never ate. He ate. But he said, right now, he's trying to teach them, he's trying to teach us a lesson. He says, my meat, my food, what's going to help me, what's going to give me joy, is to do the will of my Father, to finish his work. There's people dying right here in Samaria. There's a woman here that nobody else loved, nobody else cared about. She had a miserable life. You know the story. She was an old harlot, really. She had been married 5 times. She was living with another man. She was a miserable lady, but she got saved. She got saved and God changed her heart. And listen, because Jesus had a vision. Yeah. Jesus saw that dear soul as for what she was, a soul in desperate need of salvation. Now listen to me. I know what we're going to say. Well, preacher, they just don't. Nobody ever get saved anymore. Nobody ever does anymore. Understand something. I just don't think we need to worry about it. I think we need to do something and to renew our vision. God needs to do something to renew our vision for souls. It's not just about people coming to church, folks. It's not just about people getting in church and having a big church. That's not the goal of the ministry. That's not the goal of the gospel. The gospel is their soul, amen, that they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Folks, you will never be fulfilled as a Christian. You will never have joy. Your vision has got to stay right. It's got to stay focused. Amen. Are you listening? You've got to understand it's important that we have the right vision. We see people like Jesus saw them. We keep our eyes lifted up on the fields and looking that they're white already under harvest. I know people come and I know they go. I know hearts break and problems are real. I'm not saying that at all. But understand something to me. Our vision, all that's trying to do is blind our vision.
Yeah, that's right.
And boy, you know, you can get so quickly, your eyes can get lowered again, can't they? And your eyes get lowered again. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, awake to righteousness. He said, lift up your eyes again and see. Hey, righteousness is the answer. Jesus is the righteousness of God. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, he says. We've got to wake up and see the fields. Our vision has got to be what it used to be, dearly beloved. Some of us have lowered our eyes. Some of us are allowing things to take a broadness of our vision. We're not excited about souls anymore. We're not excited about preaching the gospel anymore. We're tired of people rejecting the gospel. I understand. I'm telling you, I understand with all my heart. But we cannot let the vision die. We got to get busy continually serving the Lord as we serve people. That's what Tuesday nights are for. That's what Saturday mornings are for. That's what Sunday school and all of our ministries, nursing home, and we're going to the prison in a few weeks. That's what the ministry is all about, is serving people, giving ourselves, because there's a world of dying people out there that need somebody to have a vision to see them again for who they are. They're dying. They're dying in their sin. They're groping about aimlessly in darkness. They're ruining their lives. Somebody needs to shed the light of the gospel on their souls. Understand something. It's a real problem. I understand that they don't want it. I'm not trying to say that they're going to love you. But we're called to be fishers of men. We're to follow the Lord and become fishers of men. The light of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the image of God, needs to shine forth unto the world so they can see, hey, there's hope.
Amen.
There's a real hope. We got to get busy, folks. Just helping people. Just doing what we can. You know why we have breakfast fellowship in the mornings now at 9:45 instead of having Sunday school? Because we're trying to give those kids and anybody else that comes to church, maybe they didn't have an opportunity, maybe they don't have the food or they don't have the money, or give them an opportunity to have something warm and hot to eat.
Amen.
We're just trying to be a blessing. And it's a ministry. It's a ministry. There's any number of things you can do. Just if you just think about other people, if you just realize other people are hurting, they need us. They need us to be a real example of Christ for them. They need to seek real compassion, someone who's given to be a blessing. But we're not going to do that if our vision is blurry, out of focus. Look with me in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 this morning. I'm almost done. Acts chapter 20, verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You see, I understand something. Look at verse 18. It says, "Sir, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons." You understand something? Seasons change, don't they? Seasons change. Hot, cold. I'm not talking about outside, though. Spiritual seasons change, too. You have times where you're on fire for the Lord, but then you have times where you're going through a valley. You're going through trials. You have burdens, heartbreaks. Seasons change. But look what he says. At all seasons, in verse 19, he just kept serving the Lord. But how did he serve the Lord? With all humility of mind, many tears and temptations. But look what he says in verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Unto you. How did he keep serving the Lord? Seasons changed in Paul's life. How did he keep serving the Lord? He didn't hold back anything that was going to help somebody else. But he says in verse 20, but have showed you and have taught you, notice, publicly and from house to house. He said, I not only showed it to you by my life, but I taught it to you by my lips, because it was profitable unto you. Listen, I know we just talked about this in Sunday school, but the Apostle Paul just kept going. Seasons came, seasons changed, it was in season, it was out of season, but he said, I just keep serving the Lord, and I just keep preaching and teaching to you publicly and house to house, serving the Lord, testifying, verse 21, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, that was Paul's secret, is his vision. He understood, hey, this is the right thing to do. This is how my Savior sees people.
Amen.
This is what he sees when he's living for the Lord. When you live for the Lord, you're going to see this too, folks. We're too busy.
Amen.
We're too busy serving ourselves. We're too busy doing things that we want to do. Folks, look with me now, and I'm finishing. Hebrews 12. This is probably the best verse, I think, about what it means to have this vision. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now understand something. A race takes work. A race tires you out. A race means there's other people trying to race against you. A race means, you know, you have to continually go forth and struggle, and there's a finish line you have to keep pushing for, striving for, right? A race is work. It's energy. It tires you out. But look what it says. What's going to keep us running this race is the right vision.
Amen.
In verse 2, our vision, looking unto Jesus. Our looking unto Jesus, listen, we've got to keep our eyes lifted up on the fields. Yes, the people. And our eyes lifted up on the harvest. Yes, they're plenteous. Our eyes lifted up on the need for laborers. And we need to pray. Our eyes need to be interceding to God for more help, more families, more laborers, more soul winners, more missionaries, more servants of Christ in our church. But listen, in the meantime, while we're running the race with patience, we've got to look unto Jesus. We've got to keep our vision and our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the one that's going to help us keep going. He's the one that's going to help us keep moving forward in our race. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Are you listening to me? We've got to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. His plan, amen, is that we continue this race. It's Him that's going to give us the strength to perform the way we're supposed to perform. Listen, it says here, He, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross.
Yes,
now, that was His vision.
Yes,
you understand? You see, the Bible's telling us to look unto Jesus, keep our vision on the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember, His vision was always on us.
Amen.
Our soul.
Yeah.
Our salvation.
Yeah.
We're the joy that was set before Him. See, Jesus endured the cross because He had a vision,
yes, sir,
for, of you.
Hallelujah.
And me.
Yes, sir.
Folks, He had a vision. He saw 2019. He knew 2019 with 2020, 21, 22, 23. He knew. He knows. He knows every person that's going to be saved. He knows every person that's going to hear the gospel and get saved. He knows every person that's going to hear the gospel and maybe not get saved for another 10 years. But they're going to hear the gospel, and the seed's going to be planted. It's going to be watered. And He knows, hey, I'm going to give increase. This, you know, it's going to be a year. That's not our vision to see people saved. Our vision is to see the need that they hear the gospel, to see the need that they have to hear the truth, to see the need that they, and Jesus saw that need. He saw us. Amen. And for the joy that was set before Him, it caused Him and allowed Him to endure the cross.
Amen.
You see, folks, if we keep our vision, we can endure.
Amen.
If we keep our vision, we can endure.
Amen.
We can. We have to endure.
Amen.
If we look at Jesus on that cross, and we keep seeing Him on that cross, and we see what He went through for our souls, it'll help us endure.
Amen.
It'll help us continue. It'll help us run. It'll help us keep pace in the race.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto His endurance. He despised the shame. He didn't have fun on the cross. He despised it. It was disgraceful. It was shameful. But he's now sat down on the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
And listen, folks, and everybody that's in heaven today is because he endured the cross.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Amen. Every person that's in heaven or ever will be in heaven is because he ran his race with patience. He kept his vision focused.
Amen.
He saw that joy that was set before him. What was that joy, preacher? Was that joy my soul? Well, I believe it was, but it was also the joy, hey, one day I'm going to get to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
One day I'm going to get to be in heaven.
Amen.
And one day, listen, everybody that I'm giving my life for, those who accept me, they'll be there with me.
Amen.
Folks, all I'm trying to get you to see today, you can endure. Jesus was encouraging his disciples, exhorting his disciples. He was exalting his heavenly Father. He endured the cross, and it was all because he had a vision.
Amen.
And you keep your vision on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your heart in the Bible. Keep your eyes on the words in these pages. Amen. And keep a prayer life. Pray for laborers. Yes, indeed. But don't give up your vision.
Amen.
Don't lower your eyes off of the fields. We cannot. We must not. It's not time for that. We've got to look unto Jesus. And we've got to remember what got him through that was his vision.
Amen.
One day we'll be in heaven.
Sir.
One day you'll be in heaven, right?
Amen.
And one day everybody that you lead to Christ, everybody that you're able to help come to the saving knowledge is going to be there with you.
Amen.
Keep that in your vision.
Amen.
Keep that in your heart. Keep that in your mind. And understand something. It doesn't matter what they say or how they react right now. There's a real future, amen. The gospel seed is planted. God can do something with it. Keep the vision in the future. Keep your vision on the future. The fields, yes, but the future also.
Yes, sir.
There's a heaven waiting for us.
Yes,
there's real joy.
On.
One day, listen, I don't know if David Hunter's ever going to come to church and ever going to follow the Lord in baptism. Listen, you don't know how many people I don't know how many people I've led to the Lord. I try not to keep count because it'll just go to my head.
Amen.
They don't come to church.
Amen.
I never see them come to church. I literally go over there sometimes and almost beg them to come to church. Almost beg them to get baptized. Because I know their lives are so empty. They're so worthless.
Amen.
They have no hope. Even if they get saved, if they don't do anything else, yeah, they're saved, but they still need to follow. They still need to get in line and serve the Lord. Or they're not going to have any direction.
Amen.
But they don't come. And you know what the Lord has convicted me lately. Hey, you're losing your vision. You know, Nehemiah went into Jerusalem with a broken down wall. And one night he got on the back of his donkey with a couple other men after dark because nobody knew why he was there. And he got on that donkey and he rode around that city. And he just looked at the condition of the wall, the gates, the houses. And God just broke his heart.
Yeah.
God gave him a vision of what needed to be done.
Amen.
And you know, in 52 days, he rebuilt that wall with many, many other men and women helping him. But he was responsible for leading that charge and rebuilding that wall.
Amen.
God gave him a vision that night of what needed to be done. Amen. Folks, but all the while, he was on that wall. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. All they were trying to do was get him off that wall. Come down off that wall. Come down off that wall. Folks, listen to me. With all my heart and by the grace of Almighty God, that's my only strength, I don't want to come off the wall.
Amen.
We cannot come off the wall, church. There's too much to be done.
Now
you say, it's not glamorous. It's not exciting. I know. Neither is putting one rock on top of another rock.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Preach it. Let's go.
But we need to keep our eyes on the prize of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gates of heaven, the fields of harvest. They're white already. Lift up your eyes, church.
Amen.
Some of you could be doing so much more. We could all be doing so much more.
Amen.
God help us. Our eyes have lowered. Our vision has lowered. Our hearts are not compassionate. We're not as busy serving people as we need to be. We should be giving ourselves to serve your family, your church family, your lost loved ones. But no matter what it is, let God renew your vision this morning. Look unto Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, this morning we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the example that he is for us. And Lord, we all need a renewed vision, a renewed perspective, Lord, of people. Lord, I know that it's not going to happen